Michael, in order to expedite these negotiations, we are prepared to make you a very generous offer.
And we are prepared to reject that offer.
Michael, you haven't even heard.
Never accept their first offer. What is your second offer?
$12,000.
Are you kidding me? That is insultingly low. I don't even want to hear what your first offer was.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan, Weiss, and Nick here with you once again. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick and Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We are everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. All right, gents, we're back. We have a lot to discuss. NFC Championship, AFC Championship, Super Bowl preview. Senior Bowl is currently going on right now. There are rumblings in the news about Daniel Jones and Saquon contract extension talks and lack thereof. Okay, let's back up a little bit. Let's start with the conference championships. Before Weiss starts gloating, I just want to say that I was robbed on both my picks because the 49ers didn't have a quarterback. And the Bengals were just absolutely robbed by the officials. Weiss, I don't know why you're giving me that look. We all know that I'm correct here. So I just want to get ahead of that. Control the narrative before the narrative controls you. And I just want that out there that, yes, I did pick the 49ers. I did pick the Bengals. And right side, wrong results, and I was robbed. Weiss, go ahead.
Well, let's start with the 49ers and Eagles. For the record, I don't take victory laps. Because
you never.
Never. The 49ers, I thought, if they didn't lose their quarterback, I know the score got it, they would have won that game with Brock Purdy. I'll say it.
Okay.
I will say it. There were two moments in that game.
Jalen Hurts does not look good. No. I'm just saying.
No. There were two moments in the game that where the 49ers will probably regret for a long time outside of the Purdy injury. Number one, the Devontae Smith catch that was clearly incomplete.
Yes.
You should have challenged it. that's on Kyle Shanahan.
That is on Kyle Shanahan. Someone explain to me the rules of the sky judge here.
I don't know. Typically, something that obvious, we've seen them like...
Gets called down, correct?
Like they huddle up and then they're like, hey, you know...
Just kidding. Wrong call. Let's keep going.
Right. But again, Kyle Shanahan still should have challenged it.
Sure.
That was the one play. The second play, because people forget that was a third down and long that conversion happened on. Like the Eagles are punting that football if.
And then the fourth down conversion, yeah?
No, the second one actually is the Josh Johnson fumble.
Sure.
You guys remember that? They had a nice completion on first down, and it looked like that drive was at least going to get them 3 points. But then
I don't know how he didn't recover that football.
Here's the thing. I don't know how that fumble happened because, like, that's not a great play by the Eagles. Like, Josh Johnson, I mean, come on.
That's a fourth-string quarterback, bro. That's Brock Purdy is starting over you. Like,
bro, I could have caught that snap and recovered it. I mean, come on. Like, I'm watching that. And I'm saying to myself, how do you let that happen? First of all.
Yeah, I agree, dude. In real time, when watching that play, I'm like, all right, like, next down. Like, there's just no way that he doesn't have it.
Yeah, like, how do you let that happen? That's what pissed me off the most. And we'll talk about the 49ers in a second because there's somebody else associated with the 49ers that I definitely want to talk about. but I'm watching that and I'm like, dude, how do you not catch that? Second of all, how do you not recover the ball? Like, that's just such a costly penalty at the end of the first half. I think it was a 14-7 game, too. And that fumble happened because I remember they went into the half 21-7. Just absolute game-changing play. And then in the third quarter, you lose Josh Johnson, and that's when everything unraveled. So those two plays, man, I think the 49ers, if you're a 49er fan, and I know a lot of them, I told them, I said, those two plays you're thinking about for the whole offseason outside of the Purdy injury.
Yeah. I know Nick's a Shanahan guy, big Shanahan guy. I mean, listen, that's just...
Wasn't a great look. It wasn't a
no, but also, like, that sucks. Like, what do you want to do? Like, you lose Trey Lance, you lose Jimmy G, come on. Like, the guy, he's just such a good coach on a weekly basis. He has one of the best defenses. Now he loses his defensive coordinator. We have no idea what he has in Trey Lance going into next season as quarterback, although you have to assume positive things, especially because, listen, Brock Purdy's capable of running that offense. You have to assume that Trey Lance is capable of running that offense.
Well, Brock Purdy might be better than Trey Lance. We can't rule it out.
Okay, let's give Trey Lance a little opportunity here.
Sure.
But point being, you're a first-round pick. You can probably do what Brock Purdy's doing. You have to hope. I just feel bad for the guy at this point. You know, that just sucks. This was a team that was poised to make a deep run, a team that, until you're on your four-string quarterback, is not totally reliant on who's under center. Great run game, great passing scheme, great zone run blocking. You can't say enough good things about that defense. That just sucks. So, I mean, they'll be back, but what a tough break.
The Trent Williams fight at the end of the game was brewing. You felt it coming because the Eagles kept jawing in people's faces. And then at the one guy, that short guy was in somebody's face, and Trent Williams just grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and ragdolled him like a child.
Yeah.
Trent Williams, a top five scariest human alive. That is one of the scariest people on the planet Earth.
He almost ripped off Richard Sherman's face.
Yeah.
In that wild card game, which was...
Speaking of legendary offensive linemen, we got to talk about Joe Staley Raider in the episode. Well, let's finish the conference games because, at this point it's old news. But
yeah.
Any final thoughts on 49ers-Eagles before we move on?
I do have a final thought, but now we're in the Joe Staley conversation.
Okay, sure.
Because it ties into that.
Sure, okay. Chiefs-Bengals.
One other thing about the Eagles.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagle fans just won a Super Bowl 5 years ago. Why are they throwing a parade in the streets for winning an NFC championship
game? Because they're animals.
That's who they are.
That's who they are. Thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I heard a lot of, Title Town talk with Philadelphia for some reason. And I'm like, wait, you guys call yourself Title Town. You're celebrating a conference championship?
Storming the court.
Their own drum.
I'm pro storming the court, storming the field when you get a major upset. I don't really care. Let people have fun. That's the point. Sports is about having fun. Who cares?
Why do we praise? So outside of Philadelphia, if you act the way people in Philadelphia act.
But that's different. They're Philadelphia.
Yeah, but I hate that. I really hate Philadelphia, man. I can't even begin to tell. You guys probably know, but I despise them. I said something I took back right away while the Eagles were celebrating the NFC Championship game. And I just kept seeing clips of I saw Jalen Hurts sing the Fly Eagles Fly. I made a comment, which I'm not going to make because it was very, I could quote unquote get canceled for that. I mean, I don't know if I'm popular enough to get canceled, but a lot of people would probably not.
You like to think the listeners of the podcast would not, they're not hate listening.
I mean, I just blurted out because I was so angry.
You could just text it to us. Just send it in the group chat, and people can tweet us and ask if it was cancelable, and Nick and I will say yes or no.
It was really fucked up.
Okay. I'm going to stop you before you put your
foot. Empire State Building.
Okay.
Canceled. Empire State Building is canceled.
The worst building in the world. Chrysler Building would never. Statue of Liberty shits on the Empire State Building.
Where's the Chrysler Building again?
42nd and
oh, it's in New York City.
Yeah,
yes.
Come on, bro. It's 42nd in
it's on the east side.
It's on the east side. Yeah, because the Empire State Building is in the 30s and on 5th.
Yeah,
I think it was very embarrassing. Very embarrassing.
Just absolutely embarrassing. Deserves to get shit on. The social media manager is a former Barstool guy. He locked his account, protected his account. Good. Fuck you.
He's a dork. I didn't know.
If I don't care. If you're the social media manager, you're the one that managed. Who's telling him yo, tweet this out? If the building is gonna put the colors up because the gajillionaire who owns the building, I don't know who controls it. Isn't Scott Malkin's family the original owners? Or they own the Empire State Building? I don't know.
I thought the city controlled it.
Whatever. If they were yo, tweet this, I'd be like, I'd rather quit. I'd rather quit my job.
Here's the thing. I would have no problem if, like, after the conference championship Sunday, you're like, okay, half red, half green for the Super Bowl, right?
Sure. I'm cool. Frame it that way.
But the fact that you light up green and people are like, stop crying. No, you don't understand. Like, this is Philadelphia. Like, Philadelphia would never do that.
Yeah, exactly.
They would never do that. So why are we doing it for them?
Right.
Like, they're terrible people. It's a terrible city.
Yeah.
I was about to say something. Like, I was so.
All right.
Like,
let's talk Chiefs before you say that. That's going to get us in trouble.
All right.
Okay. Chiefs Bengals. Worst officiating game of the season.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, my God.
Patrick Mahomes is already the greatest quarterback of all time.
I agree.
He's just unreal.
Let me tell you something, okay? Talk about my mood swing, okay? I mean, I love Patrick Mahomes.
Me too.
I love
And Jackson. By the way, I was saying, no. You want to know how great I said Patrick Mahomes was? Earlier in the season, everyone's like, oh, you know, he lost Tyreek Hill. It doesn't matter. He is the greatest of all time. He's already got a Hall of Fame resume. Playing with Travis Kelce, who is the greatest of all time, by the way, debate your mother, and doesn't matter. Like they are well coached. Andy Reid, Hall of Famer, Eric Bieniemy, the worst interviewer of all time, going to be one of the greatest offensive coordinators of all time.
I mean, you got to be a really shitty interviewer.
I know,
coaching job.
Yeah,
I mean, just, at this point, just don't answer the question. I think you have a better chance of
right
head coaching job.
Exactly.
Like, just don't say anything.
Like, or just one of those guys who's like, at the, you know, I don't have any further aspirations. I'm happy where I am. Good for you. But whatever.
Mahomes.
On one leg.
Alien. He's an alien.
Yes. I was thinking about something. I was actually going to DM our good friend Aaron Dagler, who covers the Packers.
I saw you quote tweeted your Tom Brady thing, by the way.
Yeah. Good friend of mine. MVS. Mm-hmm. Out there scaling, right?
What, for the Giants or no?
No. Listen to this. The Packers, the last, like, 5 years that they've been getting bounced in, like, the NFC Championship game or divisional round or failing to make the Super Bowl. One of the big things about them was obviously their defense, right? That year, San Francisco ran all over them.
Sure.
But another thing was, like, the fact that they didn't have a second wide receiver outside of Davante Adams, especially last year in the divisional round where they could not throw the ball to anyone outside Davante Adams. And that was the main reason why they lost that game, because they couldn't do anything offensively. For MVS then to sign with the Chiefs, and in the NFC Championship game, have 6 catches for 116 yards and a touchdown. Like, I wanted to tell him, like, dude, like, how, like, you gotta, it had to suck for the Packers, right? Like, you're sitting there, you're like, holy, like, Aaron Rodgers is, in terms of talent, I don't know how you, where you put him with Mahomes, but they're, like, in that same tier, right?
No, that's not prime Rodgers, sure.
Yeah. Right? And then, like, MVP Rodgers, right? Like, when he was having MVP seasons, he was coming up short in the playoffs. Yeah. And one of the things was, like, they don't have another wide receiver. They don't have another wide receiver. MVS was supposed to be that other wide receiver for
a year or two.
But then he goes and has a career day in the NFC Championship game. And if you're a Packer fan sitting there, you're like Giant fans did this with Evan Ingram, right? It has to be even worse for the Packer fan, because they're like, dude, you just put up with this guy for 4 years. He leaves. And that he has, you know, a career day with the Chiefs and takes him to the AFC, to the Super Bowl.
This is the equivalent of, like, you're a mediocre coach. You go be the Alabama offensive coordinator. If you have a shitty hitting season, you go play for the Rockies. Go play wide receiver for Mahomes for a year. Get your value back up. And you will go back out into the marketplace with better numbers. And your agent will be able to get you a better number. That's all that is.
But he was playing with Aaron Rodgers. Like, you would think, like, the drop-off.
This is an alien.
Rodgers, we're talking about already the greatest of all time at age 27.
I get what you guys are saying, but, like, if I'm a Packer fan, I'm like,
I guess fair. I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, like, you got to think that they're happy with Christian Watson.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about your officiating for a second. First of
go
all,
ahead.
The sideline hit by Joseph Osai.
No one, not a soul is arguing that.
So which play are you guys arguing? Because
The second third down is
replayed a down. They said
they gave them a do-over. That is egregious.
They punished.
You're giving the best. Yes, ultimately it worked, but the devil is in the details. When it comes to Mahomes, you cannot give him more chances. It's not about time on the clock. It's attempts he gets to throw the ball. Okay. You one play swings the entire game when it comes to Mahomes. Think about what he did to the Bills last year in 13 seconds. You give him any bit of oxygen, and again, it gives him friction. Joe Burrow getting hit after he got rid of the ball. That defender took three steps.
Come on.
If you really they called it on Mahomes. They called it on Mahomes.
It was a late hit.
Come on. We sit here.
It was by definition late hit. He took three steps and knocked him down.
Stop.
If we're calling everything like they were doing ticky-tack bullshit, that's a penalty.
So now we're going to complain about roughing the passer. That's what we're doing now? Now we're saying that they should have.
By the standard the referees have had, yes.
I've been very vocal that every rough passing.
They took a touchdown off.
It also mean the offense.
Chiefs.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. Like I always say. They're incompetent. There's nothing getting fixed here. These are just stupid people.
You guys are talking about two plays, one of which still resulted in the punt. The second one was you guys wanted a ticky-tack roughing the passer called, which we still don't know what would have ended up happening. What we do know is that I think it was a holding call, was called. It wasn't even holding. And it took 7 points off the board for the Chiefs. And they still managed to get themselves a 4-point swing. Second, Chiefs, I mean, the people that cover their team. I mean, I was on Twitter probably until like 3 a.m., like I was doing stuff after the game. I mean, these dudes were online at like 4 a.m. posting like screen grabs from the game. Like, I was like, come on, man. Like, this is a little bit excessive now, right? Like, they were like, look at this holding play. And then you had, like, there's a facet of like offensive line Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Offensive line sort of was very annoying on Sunday. Yes, I'm not familiar with the techniques of how to break up a pass rush. I don't know the difference. And nobody on TV has ever explained that in the 20-something years I've been watching football. I'm sorry I didn't play left tackle at Central Alabama State. I'm sorry.
It was just a beautiful thing seeing those two sides go at it. You had an angry Cincinnati Bengal fan base who's got they're going at the officials and they're pissed off about certain plays. And then here's offensive line Twitter. I'm smarter than you. And it was just it's beautiful. That's the beauty about Twitter is I love seeing people argue about things and getting mad over things. But since I'll tell you, I logged on at like 3:45 a.m. That was the last time I went on Twitter Monday morning and a Pinnacle beat report, you know, like the For You section.
Yeah.
I saw like 27 minutes ago, like screen grab of a play where Trey Anderson was getting.
Why were you up at 3:45?
Well, I just couldn't sleep. After the NFC Championship,
he was jacked up.
Yeah, I was. I told my brother-in-law and my brother, let's go get some food. So, and they sort of live a little bit further away from like DC, where stuff is open late. So I had to drive like 30 minutes. So the game ended at like 11. Go get the food. Have the food. Come back. You're talking like 12.
2-1. You know? Okay.
And then I was just up, you know, just really soaking in the glory of my Kansas City Chiefs.
Your Chiefs, okay.
There are Chiefs now because I don't need the Eagles winning a Super Bowl.
People forget we are a Chiefs positive podcast.
We are.
I think that's like an inside joke from two seasons ago.
Patrick Mahomes, I mean.
Yeah. Amazing. Kayvon.
Okay, let's talk about this for a sec. But before I do this, I want you guys to understand. And I tweeted that. By the way, I got to call out LPG, Joe, for a second. That thing that he posted, it was a logo. Did you guys see it with there was a 49er logo?
No.
And
I saw this
in the middle. I hate the San Francisco 49ers. Let me they are the fifth NFC East team to me, and I actually think I hate them more than the Washington Commanders, because the Commanders aren't good. Like, the 49ers are good. I hate the 49ers. I've hated them since 2003, that wild card game. I hate everything about them. All the respect in the world to Kyle Shanahan, like him as a coach, but fuck him. All respect in the world, I'm a huge George Kittle fan. Fuck him. Debo, love the guy. Fuck him. D'Amico Ryans, I actually...
You're going to go the full 53-man roster?
Yeah,
I wanted D'Amico Ryans last year. Like, that was my him and Adam Peters. I would love that pairing.
Yeah, sure.
Not anymore, fuck him, but because he's with Houston, but...
Good for him, by the way, getting a 6-year deal.
I hate the San Francisco 49ers with a passion. And sitting there and watching that game, I was miserable. From 3 o'clock to 6:30, I was miserable. It was terrible. There was no enjoyment for me. That's why I was like,
the Dark Knight Rises, you were rooting for the stadium to collapse?
Yeah. The field to just implode on itself.
Something like that. I can text you guys. But yeah, I hated everything about the NFC Championship game.
Okay.
Now, Joe Staley. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, so I understood.
I don't know where you guys stand on this.
So I understood what Kayvon was tweeting.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, so all season long, if you guys have been following along, every time they've asked Kayvon, what do you think about people that doubt you guys? You know, he had the famous fuck 'em quote. There was other things he said, like, we don't care what other people think, blah, blah, blah. So after the Giants lost, you saw a lot of people taking victory laps because they said, see, I told you the Giants aren't good.
Right. Giants are frauds.
Yeah, like fraud. But I think what Kayvon was basically saying was like, oh, they're getting blown out by the 49ers. We got blown out by they're getting blown out by the Eagles. We got blown out by the Eagles. Maybe then we're the same. And I think he was throwing shade
that way. He was making a joke.
It was a joke,
but it was a joke. But I think that his intention was like, hey, I'm not trying to clown the 49ers. I'm trying to clown the people that are, you know, basically called us frauds and Joe Staley.
He took it too seriously.
I mean, talk about being
I think everyone in this situation, except for Michael Strahan, sucks. I don't know who you are, bro, stuff from
Kayvon. That's hilarious.
No, it was funny when he did it to Jeff Saturday because Saturday and fuck the Colts and they destroyed the Colts. It was funny. To do it to Staley after he took a joke too seriously. Staley is he didn't want to win a Super Bowl, but this is a team sport, right? He's one of the best offensive tackles of our generation.
Come on, Nathan.
No. To come back and be like, bro, who are you? Listen, the first time it was funny. No, the first time was funny. The second time was not funny. And then for the worst, most insufferable piece of crap, Lawrence Tynes, to fucking chime in. Buddy, you almost got the head coach killed twice in Green Bay. Shut your trap. Do
your
podcast with Paul Schwartz and leave it alone. Don't, Joe Staley, maybe you could show us your NFC Championship rings. How about you shut the hell up? No one cares what you have to say, Larry.
That was funny, man.
No, that was not funny either.
The only one
who had tact in this situation, Michael Strahan.
And was funny. That was legitimately funny. Strahan being like,
listen, when you make another NFL player look up your stats, that means you really strike a nerve with him. That's the funny part about all this.
Pick two seconds. Kayvon Thibodeau's stats. And he's right. Listen, Kayvon had a great rookie season, but Bub, you better show up next year and give me double digits.
Ethan, you're turning into a WFAN caller.
No, I'm not.
It's right in front of our
eyes. It's appropriate, bro. No. Francis, we're together today.
They were, by the way. And the GOAT, Stephen A., agreed with him.
This is Twitter, man. Like, this is, like, have fun. Like, let me think about it. If you go look at Joe Staley's tweets, right? The biggest loser tweet. I read it and I'm like, is this guy like, are you, this is a four, you think he's one of the all time great offensive linemen. So I'm going to go with it. This is one of the greatest offensive linemen ever. Didn't win a Super Bowl, but just for the record, amazing season by my 49ers. Very hard win when you're on your fourth quarterback. Excuse. Niners would smoke every other team in the NFC besides the one they face tonight. Congrats to the Eagles. Hey, buddy, you want to pat yourself on the back for second place? Go ahead and wear your AFC West championship ring, all right, if that makes you feel better.
Listen, he's a fucking loser.
What a loser.
He was a loser, but you know who was a loser? Kayvon for fucking even taking the bait. And saying, bro, I don't know who you are.
Listen.
No. It's like, you know what it is? It's like you go into a party and you tell a joke and it gets a few laughs. And you like walk across the room and you tell the exact same joke again. And it's like sort of flops. That's what Kayvon did.
No.
He should have left
it
alone.
It's like when you're, okay.
Kayvon was a bozo. Staley was a bozo. Tynes was a super bozo. Strahan's the only one I like coming out of the situation.
Nick.
Are we talking about football, please?
Okay.
We are talking about football.
This is what Kayvon tweeted. He said, way this game look, we might be better than the 49ers. Three laugh emojis, right? Joe Staley responds, right? First of all, it's a joke. Like, relax, right? He goes, this, he was triggered from the get-go. It's like when you're in Costco and you're walking
by. Where are we going with this?
So you're, so I, this happened to me one time, right? I'm in Costco.
Such a niche. I'm back fascinated.
Back in the day before they used to put like frame pictures to make the picture look good on the TV, which by the way, biggest scam because the TV does not look as good as it does on the stand, the picture. They used to put like, they used to put like news on, right? Like they would have Sports Center or something like that. So I, one day I walked by and they, I think they had something about Washington and like, it was like 2010, like Donovan McNabb or something. And I was like, Donovan McNabb's a fat slob. Where I said, so I was like a college kid. Or I was like, Donovan McNabb's a fat slob. And I just kept walking.
And I got, I can't imagine what you said about Jalen Hurts.
And a guy just, the guy just yells, right? A thing. He's like, well, you're not too skinny yourself. And I turn around and I'm like, wait, did he say that to me? Like, it's like that. Like, you're getting triggered for absolute, like, it's just a joke. Like, I'm like, oh, he's a fat slob. Like,
I agree.
Right? And that dude yells across a Costco at me that across a Costco. And Costco is a lot of noise in Costco, if you guys have been to Costco. And then for him to say you're a flash player who gets bodied by average tackles, don't let the New York media affect you too much. I mean, come on. Like, what are we doing, Joe Staley? Like, I mean, I get it. You're mad. You know, there was a lot of 49er fans that were triggered. Look, I was in that stadium a week before, 49er fans. I know how it feels, man. It doesn't feel good when every motherfucker's tapping you on your back, telling you to go here, F this, F you. I get it. But just a loser of a player Joe Staley is. I mean, he will now ever forever be remembered as the guy that got triggered online.
Yeah, because listen, he's soft.
You know, like, and Kayvon responded the same way he responded to Jeff Saturday. It was a very triggered response. Like, he knew who Joe Staley was. It's like he knew who Joe Saturday was. Ethan, you got to just relax. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And the fact that Tynes even felt the
that was hilarious because
don't forget about me.
Yeah, exactly. It was hilarious. It's loser shit.
It was hilarious.
No one cares about you.
And then the ultimate, he hasn't tweeted since this.
Yeah, yes.
For Michael Strahan to bring up the fact that he absolutely bodied.
Yeah.
In 2007. Hilarious. And you know what else is crazy? Joe Staley gave up 7 sacks during his rookie season. He had a shitty rookie season.
Yeah.
So Joe, if anybody knows about having shitty rookie seasons, and Kayvon
didn't even have a real shitty rookie
season. Yeah, it's Joe Staley. A loser. The 49ers are losers. I don't want to say I'm happy they lost because the Eagles won, but just to see them be miserable for 3 hours is...
And by the way, enough, because everyone's like, oh, Kayvon's getting the OBJ treatment. OBJ had a historic rookie season. Shut up.
He's not getting the OBJ treatment because people need to stop getting so emotional.
No, that is exactly the OBJ treatment.
It's Twitter. He didn't fight anybody on the field. It's Twitter, man. Like, he just tweeted something.
And the media is losing their minds.
No, it's actually not the media. It's the fans that are losing their minds, which is
whatever.
Crazy.
We got a gazillion quote tweets.
It was hilarious. Hilarious. Just to see people get so mad online over a tweet. I mean, it's just so beautiful. Beautiful. Kayvon, ultimate troll, man. Love. No. I hope he keeps going.
Nope.
Nick, talk.
Give me 12 sacks and then you control.
Oh, please. This is the typical WFAN type shit.
No. Give me 12 sacks and then you control.
Single-handedly.
OBJ earned
one to watch
to act game. Out. OBJ earned the right to fucking fight it's Josh Norman on the
field. These are not the same. These are not the same.
You're right, because Kayvon had 4 sacks.
Because Kayvon didn't do anything detrimental to the team.
OBJ didn't have the time either.
Nick, come on. Talk some sense to this boy. You're too quiet.
Yeah, because you just shat all over his 49ers.
I don't really care, to be honest with you. We're talking about 3-day-old Twitter arguments. It's over with. If we did this in the moment, yeah, I probably have a little more to say. It's over with. It's fine. Everybody has gone around.
What a rational take. Why is this guy around?
I can't wait to see what Joe Staley's next tweet is.
I can't. All right, what's up next on the docket?
All right. Senior Bowl.
Okay.
All I got to say about the Senior Bowl is that I haven't really paid attention to it. I haven't gotten through the process.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Joe Shane is a handsome guy.
He's a sexy motherfucker, man. I have no shame in saying that. He is a swipe. I never did Tinder, but you swipe right, right? When you like somebody.
Yes, you swipe.
He's a swipe right.
You'd super like him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The comments to Nevin about the Barkley and
more,
the Jones.
More serious stuff.
Yeah, yeah, Barkley and the Jones contracts. Mm-hmm. Interesting. He has not begun negotiations with Jones. Allegedly.
Allegedly, I like that.
But here's the thing, though. I don't think he has anything. I mean, again, like, I'm not in his shoes. I don't think he has anything to gain or lose from lying or just doing a little smoke or misdirections. Like, I don't understand why he wouldn't be telling the truth.
Well, I think there's a lot of politics that have to be played with because there's a court of public opinion here.
I think we've already seen it play out with Saquon.
Exactly. I truly believe it's 50-50 with Saquon Barkley.
Like I think it's probably 35-65. 35, he's back.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if he's not going to play on the tag, yeah, because that's more than likely what's going to happen.
No, you think there's a 35% chance, he's 65% chance he's not back with the Giants.
Correct.
Wow. I was 50-50 and someone called me crazy. They're saying he's pretty much going to be back, but...
No, dude, listen, Joe Shane...
That's not reporting, that's just...
I understand.
Speculation. Yeah.
Speculation. Yeah. Dude, Joe Shane has planted every single seed that he doesn't really want Saquon back unless it's a steal. Saquon, we had this discussion, dare I call it an argument, a couple weeks ago when him and Leo were doing the post-game bullshit where he was like, I'm not looking to reset the market. First of all, Joe Shane leaked to the media that they had early negotiations with Saquon. They didn't say about what amount. Then Saquon comes out and says that he's not looking to reset the market. And in response to that, Joe Shane, to make Saquon's camp look bad and rightfully so, said, oh, actually, he's asking for $16 million, which would basically reset the market because he's not worth more than a Kamara or a McCaffrey, which is what those, that's what McCaffrey's getting paid. That's not even what Kamara's getting paid. So, listen, like the back and forth, like cutesy negotiation in the media stuff is being played out with Saquon. Like, we're seeing it in real time. We're making the effort. Like, we want this guy back. But if he doesn't accept the deal, early, he tried.
Do you think it's early damage control?
I think that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, either he takes the quote-unquote low-ball deal that we're offering him, which very well could be, like, 11 in a year.
I don't think 12.5 is a low-ball offer. If you look at the running back, like Derrick Henry...
What's the franchise tag?
The franchise tag is $10 million.
Okay, so you give him 11 or 12 for 3 years, I think that's fine. But, again, if the guy is looking for 16... Like you said, damage control. Like, we tried. We made a good faith offer to him. He didn't accept it. But I'm struggling to understand how the franchise tag plays into this with Daniel Jones. Because I saw some people in my mentions trying to, like, rationalize it, where they were like, oh, well, like, they're trying to see if they need to use the franchise tag on Saquon. Like, the quarterback position is far more important. Like, if you want the guy back, it doesn't matter what Saquon does. Like, you're either going to use that franchise tag on the quarterback or he's accepted your offer. You know what I mean? Or you don't want him back. Like, Daniel, those Jones are the only three options.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is the number one priority here. That's...
Then why haven't they started contract negotiations?
Because I don't think that's going to be hard.
I think that's going to be very hard.
I don't think so.
Future former Tampa Bay Buccaneer Daniel Jones?
That's what I was saying earlier.
Well, the thing is, the franchise tag is $32 million. Yeah. So that's like a starting point, right, of negotiations. Two franchise tags will get Daniel Jones. We'll get him $72 million over 2 years guaranteed. Half of that is 35. So, like, you can find a middle ground there. And then it's just a matter of years and I think with Saquon, it's a little more complex because, like, there's an entire business side to this that's off the field that the Giants are taking into account. And maybe I wouldn't have valued
that. That's a Saquon issue. That's not a Giants issue. The Giants don't care about Saquon's business dealings, and they're going to sell jerseys. Like, there's going to be another superstar, dude. Look at Kayvon. Like, they're going to be able to sell jerseys and put asses in seats if they're winning and they have it with one flashy player. Like, I don't think that it's as gray area as so many people are making it out to be. Like, Joe Shane is a smart guy. He looks around the league. He sees what the Eagles are paying their running backs. He sees what the Chiefs are paying their running backs. He sees what the Bills have been paying their running backs, even when he was there. And he's probably like, this is the cap that I'm willing to go. This is the ceiling that I'm willing to go to on a running back contract, both in terms of total dollars and total years. You either take it or you're see ya. And I'm going to put out into the media that we made you an offer that was very fair. And sorry, like, it's not like we didn't try. But, like, I see the Saquon negotiations as being very black and white, which makes it confusing that allegedly he hasn't started negotiations with Daniel Jones, assuming he wants him back.
I think it's the opposite.
You think that it's complicated with Saquon?
Yes.
I don't buy that.
And I think it's very easy with Daniel.
I also don't buy that.
Because there's a number. If you don't meet, first of all, Daniel
Saquon has a number, but it's with the Giants.
Yeah, but Saquon's not getting $16 million from the Giants.
He's not getting $16 million from anyone.
Right.
So Joe Shane's probably like, here's a deal for 3 years, $10 million.
Well, I think somebody would give him $16 million on the open market.
No way.
And you let someone else make that mistake. You don't do
that. I'm with you. No, I'm with you. I'm just saying, like, if he hit the open market.
There's no way someone's looking at Christian McCaffrey and being like, I'm going to pay this guy the same amount.
Christian McCaffrey, are you saying that?
Saquon's not a McCaffrey, not what McCaffrey does. That's
yeah, but people look at players differently. They look at a guy, they'll say, I can do X, Y, and Z with him that the Giants couldn't do. You guys got free agency.
He's also with the best run scheming offense in football in San Francisco. So they've got the best left tackle in football.
We see this every year.
We do. Yeah, Christian.
But we've seen the running back market reset itself.
Yeah, we've never seen
a running back like this, who's probably like the, you know, the give or take. He's a no. I'm talking about a running back this good hit the free agent market, like an elite player at his position like this hit the free agent.
But again, I don't think it matters. Like, Joe Shane has a price, and if that price is too low for Saquon, then he's going to say sayonara. Let someone else meet your price.
I think ideally their hope is, let's get a long-term deal done with Daniel so that we can franchise tag Saquon.
Yep. Sure, but again, then why are you coming out publicly saying that you haven't started negotiations?
Because I think the Daniel Jones negotiations are going to be, first of all, I don't believe that. Second of all, I
don't either, which is why, but I don't understand why he would lie.
You don't want to, I don't know. Like I said, there's a lot of...
It's not like you're going to have other teams bidding for him because...
No, you're right.
Can't come to an agreement. Bam, franchise tag. Okay.
I got a theory. Maybe there's a situation where there's a quarterback that could become available that the Giants could go after. I mean, I don't know. There could be many reasons why he's making things up or not being very forthcoming. I think it's a combination of two things. One, like I said, one... there's politics being played here. People are trying to, you know, not give their hand in through the media. And two, maybe he wants to just franchise tag him and make a prove it for another year. And just wants
what I was saying last week.
And wants to get something done with Saquon. So that way he can use the franchise tag on Daniel.
Do you think there's a world in which they're going to be like, okay, go see what you can get? Or do you think that they don't let it get to that point with Jones? Because I saw a few people thinking, yeah.
Tag what did you at that point.
Yeah.
What did you tell me before the we started recording?
There's 12 teams who have a set starting quarterback for next year. Beyond that, those teams have question marks about who's going to start for them on opening day next year. There's a lot of spots in the game of musical chairs right now.
Sure. Does that include Houston?
Yeah, I have Houston not as set. No, Houston's one of the teams that's not. I have Dallas, Philly, Minnesota.
I would argue Houston is set just because I think that they're going to take one of Stroud or Young.
Well, once they get there, yeah.
You have to subtract three teams who are going to gladly draft Levis, Stroud, and Young from that list.
Okay, half the league.
Half the league. Yeah, Jimmy G will be there. We saw that this afternoon that he's not going to be back with San Francisco. Carr is available. Rodgers.
I'll believe that one.
Listen, but San Francisco's got their guy. Like, they're running it back with Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Vegas, sure. Buccaneers, sure. Carolina.
The entire NFC South.
Yeah.
That's what I'm interested in. The Vegas Raiders. What are they going to do? Because I thought for sure Tom Brady returns, goes with Josh McDaniels.
I wonder if Josh McDaniels calls his old friend Joseph and says, what do you think of this guy?
What about Jimmy G with the Raiders?
I could see that.
Sure.
I could see that. I think realistically the first out will be Rodgers. Rodgers will be the first one to get figured out. I think
against a lot of these teams, like, okay, Rodgers leaves, fine. Love is going to be their starter.
Why would Aaron Rodgers want to go to the AFC, let alone the AFC West?
Because he wants
not going to the West.
He's going to the Green Bay. Wants to move on from it. That's why. I mean, I don't know if you saw what he said yesterday or the day before. Maybe it was last week on McAfee where he was kind of like, yeah, they've kind of started to try and figure out what they're going to do. And I haven't been a part of those conversations yet. And he's floating it out there in a way to make it sound like they're the bad guys. They're planning because they don't know what they're going to do yet. I do think they're going to end up trading Rodgers, though.
Me too.
I don't know what's going to happen in Green Bay. I really don't.
I don't know what's going to happen.
And I don't really care.
In their own house.
I don't care about the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers anymore.
I don't know what's going to happen with... Again, like my stand, I maintain my stance. Like whatever Joe Shane decides, I'm going to stand behind. He's earned benefit of the doubt. So
good looking man.
Yeah.
One other thing.
Yeah.
All right. T. Higgins.
Sure.
Oh,
what? That's also assuming that the Bengals are willing to trade.
Yes.
They can
run it back one more year. He's not going to be available till next year because they still have Burrow on the rookie deal for one more year.
Yeah.
I'm all for T. Higgins is great. Brandon Ayuk is great. Love him. Anybody really want?
By the way, I have to say. That Brandon Ayuk Giants Photoshop that was going around was probably the worst I've ever seen.
Why is the mouthpiece attached to the helmet and he has the helmet off?
It was
trying to pull the tooth out?
Yeah, I didn't understand it. That was the worst Photoshop I've ever seen.
He's trying to pull a tooth out. That's
anyway, you were saying.
I love that the hypothetical Twitter and stuff, like we're going to trade for this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I hate? When people are like, people need to calm down about the Teague and stuff. Like, no, this is fun. Dude, we're in the early stages of the
autos. We do, yeah.
Man, let people, if somebody wants
there's to... There's 30 teams that have nothing to do but plan towards next year.
I absolutely love the hypothetical trade stuff I see on Twitter. Even though I find some stuff to be, like, insane, I love it. Let people dream. If a guy wants to Photoshop, you know, himself into a Chinese jersey, let him in, like, dude, let people enjoy life. People need to calm down about T. Higgins.
No.
The best one was that Daniel Jones could throw a good deep ball to Kenny Golladay. They ended up throwing T. Higgins, and I was just like, oh, my God.
Good Lord. That's a take.
Yeah.
That's a take.
He threw a good deep ball at the Knick game last night.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Nice. A lot of public appearances for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he was sitting next to Ben Stiller, too. That was cool.
Yeah.
Aaron, did you see that picture? Like, Aaron Judge was, like, behind Isaiah Hodgins?
Yes.
I didn't see that. That's funny.
Was that Aaron Judge?
I'm pretty sure it was Aaron Judge. It might not have been because I didn't see anything about him being at the Knick game, but Judge has been, been doing the rounds.
Yeah.
That's wild. Joe Judge, row three, Isaiah Hodgins, courtside.
Joe Judge or Aaron Judge?
Aaron Judge, I'm sorry. Aaron Judge.
Just said
Judge. Okay. Freudian slip.
Yeah. Anything else to discuss?
Let's do a quick the coaching cycle.
Oh, my God. Dude, what are the Broncos doing?
That's what I wanted to ask.
Holy cow.
Do you guys remember last week when I was texting you guys about the Broncos? I was like, I'm so interested in this coaching search. Dude, I mean.
Okay, I have a question for you based on this. I saw somebody tweet this before. Would you like to go to Denver where you have no draft picks and a quarterback who thinks he's a lot better than he actually is and is going to request input in designing the offense? Or go to Indianapolis where you will have infinite resources, but at any moment the owner could fuck it up? At any moment, the owner could fuck it up.
Denver. You know why I'm going to Denver? Because, hear me out.
The Walmart bag, I understand.
Yeah, that's one, two. A guy like Sean Payton, they'll fire everyone else before they fire Sean Payton. Even if Sean Payton is a total flop, he's going to get that leash. Outside D'Amico Ryans, there's nobody that's going to have a longer leash than Sean Payton. And I want to see how much he's getting paid. Like, I saw numbers that were, like, $25 million a year.
Yes. I saw something.
$25 million a year. And, like, with the Saints, he was, like, one of the highest-paid coaches. Because, you know, there's no list of, like, salary.
Right.
Like,
it doesn't have to be publicly available.
Yeah. He, like, with the Saints, he was making, like, $8 million. He was, like, one of the highest-paid coaches. So, $25 million. I mean, it's, like, dude, it's tough to pass that up. Walmart money, man. That's a different kind.
Here's a take.
Yes.
You want a take?
Yes.
Sean Payton's record, 152-89. 15 seasons, only 4 losing seasons. Playoff appearances, 9.
Feel okay.
Playoff record, 9.
Benjamin Albright, right over here.
Ben Albright? Yeah, sure. Playoff appearances, 9. Playoff record, 9-8, so basically 500. He's been to 1 Super Bowl, and he won it. He's been to the conference championship game 3 times. He's 1-2 in those games. I'm going to read you another coach.
Yeah, but that one, I mean, you guys were complaining about the Bengals early in this episode with the refs. You're really going to put that 1-2 NFC record?
No, that's not the record. Point. That's not the point. This is the point, okay? Hey. I'm going to read you another coach now. Record, 155-97. Very comparable. Over 16 seasons, 1 more than Sean Payton. Exactly the same number of losing seasons as Sean Payton. 4.
Mike McCarthy.
Playoff appearances, 11. Playoff record, 11-10. Super Bowls, 1. A Super Bowl record, 1-0. Conference championship game appearances, 4. Conference championship game record, 1-3. Almost identical to Michael McCarthy.
Would you rather have Mike
McCarthy? So excited.
Would you rather have Mike McCarthy or Sean Payton? Would you rather
have Of course, I'd rather have Sean Payton.
Okay,
but
so then
we're talking about two guys who, listen, carried by Hall of Fame quarterbacks throughout the course of their career. Mike McCarthy goes to Dallas, where he doesn't have a Hall of Fame, and he is the butt of everyone's joke. He was overdue to get fired in Green Bay. He went to Pro Football Focus headquarters and had a sleepover with Jerry Jones, and all of a sudden he's reformed. All I'm saying,
13 games
there's not a single coach in the league ever I would be giving up the draft picks that the Broncos gave up for Sean Payton, because every year there's a new wunderkind who breaks out and you're like, oh shit, like this guy like knows his stuff. We're going to see with Sean Payton. That's all I'm going to say.
Speaking of Mike McCarthy, this is something I wanted to bring up but forgot.
Oh, he's calling.
He's going to call plays next
year. I can't wait, dude. Oh, I'm so excited.
Run it back.
Yeah, run it back, baby. I love it.
And the crazy thing for Jerry Jones is Sean Payton got a head coaching job.
Yeah. So
if that flops, what are you going to do? I mean, they're probably going to make Dan Quinn the head coach, right? Like, that'll be the next option.
I'm shocked he didn't get a job. I thought he was going to think about last year. Yeah.
Denver. Remember I told you guys, you know, the connection with the Denver Broncos. I thought that was going to be his choice.
Yeah.
It was an interesting coaching search for the Broncos. I mean, it was their third option.
They tried hard for D'Amico Ryans.
A lot of people, it was Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans, and then Sean Payton.
Yeah.
A lot of people in the Denver media wanted to act like everything was going great. It was not. I do believe what Rappaport was tweeting, like, they really did try to hire D'Amico Ryans up until the ninth hour, the 11th hour, where he just said, okay, I'm just going to Houston. But the Broncos, man, like, I'm ready to write off Russell Wilson, but I kind of like the Sean Payton-Russell Wilson pairing.
Me too. I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah. Again, it's like one of those, like, it can't get worse.
They have talent, and they're going to have their picks starting next year. So, and they did give up the first. By the way, why didn't the Saints take the other offer, the one that was going to give them the first round pick next year? Are they banking that? Because it's the 29th pick, which basically means you think that the Denver Broncos are going to go to the AFC Championship game next year. Like that because
I don't know.
Other than that, why would you not take next year's pick? Especially with the quarterbacks in that draft. I mean,
yeah.
It's everyone that found that to be really bizarre. You want to talk about another guy that's living off of that one Super Bowl? Mickey Loomis. I mean, give me a break.
That's a weird situation there, because the owner owns like all of the teams in that city, and the kids are involved in the power struggle.
Every time I see Mickey Loomis and that Saints owner, the lady together, I feel like they're having an affair. the guy died, right? Benson died. I think Loomis is pumping, man. He's got to be doing something to keep that job. Come on.
Out of conspiracy theories today.
Real quick. Were you surprised Kellen Moore got snatched up so quickly?
No.
I don't even know where he is.
Chargers.
Offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Cool. Good for him.
Not surprised. No. Not surprised at all. Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans.
Yep.
Great hire.
Shocked he went there, but great hire.
Me too.
But glad he got... Didn't he... I mean, it's funny. Remember the someone on Giants Twitter tweeted like, oh, if we lose Wink Martindale, and they posted a Photoshop of guy who's suing Mara.
Brian Flores.
It was just like, Everyone was clowning on him, like, oh, like, we really were going to hire the guy who was suing the Giants. Didn't D'Amico Ryan sue the Texans?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a part of that lawsuit. Yeah.
So sued the Texans, but I guess his family's all still there, and he's getting bank. He got a six-year deal, so.
Do you know why he sued the Texans? So, like I said, I was following that coaching search so closely, and when it was between Houston and Denver, a lot of Denver fans were tweeting out, he's suing the Texans because he's blaming them for an injury he suffered. Yeah. So I learned all about that. So he sued the Texans because of their field conditions. The Texans used to have grass. Now they have turf. So he,
sure.
So when he was in Philly, he sued the Texans. I love Twitter, man. I'm telling you, my whole life has just changed because I don't take Twitter seriously.
There you go.
That's just the best. It's the best.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to cook dinner, which, by the way, I'm not to go on a tangent.
Yeah.
Last like week or so. So you guys know what the carnivore diet is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fucking nut jobs, dude. They're just like every single meal is like ground beef or steak or and like
trying to kill yourself.
All they eat. That's all. No, it's, according to them, that's a myth. But I have gone like heavy protein. Like I had steak and eggs for breakfast. I had a steak and potatoes for dinner last night. Like subbing out like M&Ms and like the junk shit for like fruit. I feel unbelievable this week.
It's alpha season, Ethan.
It's alpha season. Dude, I took a great dump earlier today. Like, feel cleaned out. Oh,
so
man,
when
feel
you
good.
Speaking of steak, when you go to a steakhouse and you order a steak.
Medium rare.
I do medium well, but.
You're a sicko.
I don't like red, guys. I'm sorry.
You're a sicko.
This wasn't my question, but I do medium well.
We've outed you. You're a sicko. Go ahead. What's your question?
At what point is like, are you like embarrassed to order a steak? Like I'm talking about the ounces. Like you're like, I don't want people to look at me when I'm eating this.
No, because I don't eat, like, dude, I can't eat, like, dude, I don't know. So I see where you're coming from. I don't understand the people that can go to like a steakhouse and order like a 32 ounce, whatever the fuck, and just like eat the whole thing, like no problem. I'm like,
you're right.
Give me a 10 ounce filet, medium rare, and like some veggies and potato sides, and I am perfect. Like,
so I went to Del Frisco's with my wife a couple weeks ago. And,
nice.
And sorry, I said the restaurant like everyone's supposed to know what it is. It's a steakhouse in D.C.
Yeah.
And
I have ordered, New York.
Maybe, I don't know. I ordered a steak and I really wanted to try their porterhouse because the review said the porterhouse.
How many ounces? It was like a 64 ounce porterhouse?
No, it was 32.
32.
Like all these people were looking at me and I couldn't eat it because I'm like, dude, everyone's looking. I felt really weird.
That's like a lot of steak.
It was good. I don't like this. I'm not a big sides guy. I like the steak with the water.
I love the dude. Steakhouse sides, unbelievable. You got like a horseradish mashed potatoes. You get some like roasted Brussels sprouts.
Do you do the Fogo de Chao Chima sometimes? We have Chima, Fogo de Chao, Texas.
I've actually never been to Fogo de Chao. I need to go.
Do you guys have Chima in New York?
I don't know.
Chima's a lot better than Fogo de Chao. Same concept.
Got Brazilians. Is it Brazilian or Argentinian?
Whatever it is, it's good. I think it's Brazilian.
Brazilian steakhouse?
Yeah,
that's not clear.
Yeah.
I love it.
Anyway, I had a lot of steak this week. I went to Whole Foods yesterday. I got some lamb chops. I got another steak.
Wow.
Do
you also make your lamb chops well?
Medium rare? Yeah, bro.
Lamb medium rare?
Hell yeah.
Oh my God. I'm a big lamb guy, but I cannot.
One of my roommates in college used to eat them rare, like rare. Like still buying. Damn. Tonight's dinner is not steak, though. I'm a really good Indian dish. Red lentils, shrimp, high protein, but like, you know, my wife will eat it, so it's good. Anyway, that's a tangent. I got to go cook dinner now, so we'll wrap it up. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow us at NYG Daily. Follow Nick and Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.